This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Friday, October 7th, 2011. I'm Caleb Brown. What does it mean for a capitalist to give something back to society? The late Steve Jobs, innovator and longtime leader of Apple, was widely believed to be light on philanthropy, but he delivered enormous value for society. Should he have been expected to give something back over and above that value? Trevor Burrus, legal associate at the Cato Institute, offers his thoughts. On Steve Jobs, CNN notes that the Stanford Social Innovation Review named Apple one of the least philanthropic companies, essentially because they had shut down their charitable operations when Steve Jobs came back to the helm. But it sort of misunderstands, perhaps, what it means to deliver value to society.
Yes, exactly. The death of Jobs has created some interesting ruminations on the value that a mere businessman can have to the economy and the scrutinizing of his charitable contributions or seeming lack thereof, and Apple has had people asking, you know, did Jobs give back enough? And it's a valid question, but you might want to ask, how could you possibly compute how much he gave back? And there's sort of a dead reckoning thing we could try to figure out how much he gave back, which would be using a thing called consumer surplus that economists use, where we look at the difference between what you would have paid at the top of your point of your indifference point for an Apple product and what you did actually pay. So, for example, if you would have paid $1,000 for an iPod because it gave you that much pleasure and you only paid $200, then you have $800 in wealth. And the sum total of all of those, of the entire world's consumer surpluses, would give you a general idea of how much Steve Jobs gave back to the world. And undoubtedly, it is far, far greater than his personal wealth.
And if you understand that to be a benefit to society, then profits are some measure of that contribution that you're making.
Precisely. They're an indicator of where you should put your efforts. And, you know, everyone has to go through that question in their life. Where should you put your efforts? And I, you know, I'm not going to, you know, speak, you know, authoritatively about Jobs, but it's well known, you know, the exactingness with which he ran Apple. And I think that Jobs had made the calculation that the best use of his time and money was to put it back into Apple and produce more of that consumer surplus for everyone. Because, I mean, you know, he was very detail-oriented. So it's not clear that if he would have, you know, lobbed $2 million at a charity, of which we know that charities are not all created equal, that, you know, just to satisfy his critics, whether or not that would have been sufficient for him to be like, well, I know that my money is doing the most it could possibly do.
Contrast that to this sort of Elizabeth Warren view that is getting rich itself is essentially has nothing to do with the value that you're delivering to society. That seems to be a nice line between you delivering value to society and getting rich. That seems to be what she's implying.
Yeah, it's hard to figure out exactly what Elizabeth Warren is implying. I mean, she talked about how if you were rich, you owe more because you used more government provided resources. And aside from other problems with that, the best that I can say on this calculus is that so did the people who purchased Apple products. And they used government roads to drive to the Apple store, and they used, you know, education system to either educate themselves or have workers who educate them. And so we can kind of say, okay, well, let's take that part of the ledger and just say those two sides cancel out. And still, Steve Jobs gave back such an immense amount to society that it's hard to say that his time could have been spent any better doing anything else, which I doubt it could have. The other issue worth considering is how we look at various capitalists and have a perception of when they're adding value. Capitalists are billionaires, entrepreneurs, a perception of when they're adding value and a perception of when they're not. And I think people are generally okay with Steve Jobs because it's a very pretty visual thing that we see everyone with an iPhone or an iPod, and we say, well, that is value. But then we look at a hedge fund manager or a finance, someone in the world of finance, and it's a little bit more inscrutable what they're doing to add value. And if you're talking about billionaires and attacking them, for example, in the Occupy Wall Street movement, you know, they seem to not treat all billionaires as created equal, whether it's, you know, Michael Jordan or Steve Jobs, and then there's someone else who doesn't exactly clear what they do. And the best indication of whether or not someone is adding value to society is whether or not someone is paying for what they do.
Economists say that the residual claimant for a firm is the person whose contribution is least obvious.
Absolutely true.
That is, and for Steve Jobs, he was merely a director of resources for Apple, but set the tone for the firm in such a way that what he was adding to the firm, it's not clear in a sense, and it's very clear in another sense.
Exactly. The designers of the products, the people who set the chipset, that's a very clear thing. But often the person at the top, the person who holds the residual profits or losses, as we have to always say, it's not clear what he did. But it seems to me it's very heartening that there's a lot of people, including President Obama, talking about what he did and talking about his status with the Henry Fords and the Thomas Edisons in American world history.
Trevor Burrus is a legal associate at the Cato Institute. You can read more of his work at cato.org.